Welcome to the Gospel Care Podcast. My name is Jason Kovacs, and I'm one of your hosts. Today, we're continuing our four-part series with our third episode on our core values. Today's core value that we're going to talk about is church partnering. This is our ecclesiology, our understanding of the role of the church, and how our understanding of the nature and role of the church impacts and shapes our counseling model. This is a really important core value that is really dear to our hearts because it has so many implications. So many people come to counseling because they've been hurt by the church. And in our theology and our understanding of the church, it's actually through the church that God brings healing and reconciliation and restoration. And that's a really hard thing for many people to recognize and reckon with. And so I want to talk about that and how that looks and why we believe this is really important. So before I get to that, I want to mention two things. The first is we have our next ABC Biblical Certification cohort starting at the end of September. There's still time to apply. If you have been looking at getting any training in biblical counseling or gospel-centered, clinically informed counseling, this is a great opportunity. Level one is 8 months. And again, we start at the end of September. And this is perfect for pastors, ministry leaders, folks that just want to get trained or considering doing counseling as part of their church ministry or doing counseling as a ministry aside and alongside the local church. So if you want more information, go to our website, gospelcarecollective.com/equipping, and you'll find more information on level one. We also have level two, which is 2 years, and it's supervised counseling. And again, you'll find information on that on our website, but want to encourage you to consider that. We have church groups that have been coming through this and training multiple folks to help establish a counseling culture, a care culture, and ministry in their church, and that's been great for that as well. So if you've got questions, let us know. We'd love to serve you in that way. Remember, we are going to be there, and we'd love to meet you. We're also hosting a lunch with our friends at ECAP, the Evangelical Council for Abuse Prevention, on trauma and abuse in the church. It's going to be a lunch panel at TGC. It's going to be a really important conversation. Again, even connects to our conversation today about the church and where the church fails, sadly. So thank you. Let's jump into this episode on the church. So the third core value that drives and shapes our counseling model is church partnering. Now, this is our ecclesiology. This is our understanding of the nature of the church. And this is the way we say it as an organization on our website and how we've articulated it. We say that God has forever existed in the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we, as his image bearers, are designed to live and thrive in community. Lasting, vibrant life change does not occur in isolation. God has purposed us to be formed and shaped in the context of a caring and consistent community. Therefore, we aim to do everything in connection with the church. This makes us unique to many other models. So that's what we say. If you go to our website on the front page, we've got our four core values: Christ-centered, clinically informed, church partnering, and community renewing listed there. Again, I think I've mentioned this before. We could also say theology, psychology, ecclesiology, and missiology. Those are the four paradigms, realities that we want to shape and define who we are as counselors and what we do in our counseling. So we have this right on our front page, partly because we believe this is so important. I think this is such a critical aspect of a truly biblical counseling model. Because if you just have the first two, you just have your theology and psychology, or, you know, the other word, I think we talked about this last week, and when we talked about what it means for us to be clinically informed, that's our understanding of not only psychology, but our anthropology, so our understanding of man. And so if you just have theology and you just have psychology and anthropology, you can still be left feeling like and be left with an individualistic counseling approach, the individual man and the individual God together. And that's in many places and for many people, the way they think about Christianity. They think about Christianity and their relationship with God is a very personal thing, a very individualistic experience. And we believe biblically is that we were created as individuals, but we were created for relationship with God and relationship with one another, and that's the church. So, as we mentioned, God has forever existed in a eternal relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and He created us in His image, and therefore, at the very core of who we are, is this relational part of us. Just as God by nature is relational, so are we. Whether we like it or not, there's just no way to get around it. We are created for relationship, again, with God and one another. It's why we long for that. That's why when relationships are broken, when there's disorder or dysfunction in relationships, it's so painful, because that's not what we were created for. We were created for perfectly safe relationships, secure relationships, relationships where we belong, relationships where there's no shame and fear. And obviously, because of sin and suffering, that's that disorder, that's broken. But I think that at the core, recognizing that we were created in God's image to reflect that kind of deep relationship of knowing and being and being known and loving and being loved, that we can understand and have a better category for why it's so painful and traumatic when we don't receive in relationship what God intended for us to receive, like go back to early childhood and how God created mothers and fathers to provide for their children a sense of safety and security, to be seen and to feel significant, and that's just the building blocks of connection and relationship. That God has created us for. It's, you read about how God relates to us and what God's restoring us to, and it's that very thing. And we lost all that in the fall. So that's where the greatest pain comes from. So we want to point to the fact that that's what we were created for, and God's design is that He restore and plan is that He's restoring us back into that kind of relationship with Himself and one another. Now, there is this reality of the already and the not yet. So God has done a work of salvation already. God has done the work of living and dying in our place, and the work is finished. And there is an aspect of God already bringing us into reconciliation with Himself and one another. Therefore, we are family with God as adopted children, and then we're family with one another, brothers and sisters. But there's also this sense of the not yet, that it's not we're perfect, but we're not yet made fully perfect, as the Bible says. Perfect, yet being made perfect. And in the not yet, that's where we live. We live in the space of waiting and groaning for glory. And that's where the church exists. A verse that I find really helpful to capture this reality is in Hebrews. I mean, there's a lot of verses we could go to, but Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13 is two verses that I go to often when I think about the role of the church and the need for the church. And so this is what the writer to the Hebrews says. He says, "Take care, brothers." So he's talking to you and I, those of us who are in Christ, in the church. "Lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we shall," I'll go into verse 14, "for if we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." So just a few things in this, in these three verses. One, like I said, he's talking to brothers and sisters. He's talking to you and I, those who are saved, those who would call ourselves saved and part of the church. And he's giving us a really sober warning. He's saying, be careful because you're prone to wander. And there could be in you an unbelieving heart, or you could be disheartened by the deceitfulness of sin. And that's the warning. Like, be careful that you don't move in that direction. And I think one of the things this warning is it's a gift to us to say to us that's the possibility for all of us. And I think we all know that. I think that's the reality that we know to be true, consciously or at least subconsciously. We know, like, every day I'm prone to wander. I do what I don't want to do. And so the writer of the Hebrews says, yeah, that's it. Like, that's your experience. So that's going to be your experience. And then in the middle, in verse 13, he gives a solution. So what can you do about that? Here's the warning. What can you do to not wander, to not not move towards an unbelieving heart, to not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin? What does he say here? He says, exhort one another, and he says, do that every day as long as it's called today. I think that is so. Powerful. We can read that and read past this sometimes and miss this, but what he's saying here is this propensity in all of us to wander is an everyday reality. And the solution isn't just preach the gospel to yourself or do your own personal devotions every day as, you know, individuals in relationship with God, your private personal time with Jesus. I think that I absolutely believe it, that's important, and I practice that most days. I spend time with Jesus and encourage others to do the same. But he doesn't say that, interestingly. What he says is to encourage one, to exhort one another, that someone other than yourself exhorts you, that we need to people outside of ourselves to exhort us and encourage us and remind us of who we are in Christ. And again, this is an everyday reality. It's not just once a week, twice a week, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. This is an everyday reality, because I think the writer of the Hebrews recognizes just how powerful sin's deception is and how prone and to wander and how weak we can be. And so this just, to me, points out how God has created us and, you know, one, to be in relationship, but then two, this side of glory where sin and suffering abound, how much more we need one another. We need the relationship of one another. And again, that's the church every day to encourage, to exhort. This is life, spiritual life or death at stake here, I think you could say. And so that's why the church is so critical, and why, as a counselor, I see my role as supplemental to this primary purpose of the church and role of the church. So, because I can't be in somebody's life every day. But the church and the relationships of the church, that's exactly what it's meant to be, a family where we're walking together, where we're together, where we're not leaving one another, where we're in this for the long haul. I see counseling, and my role as a counselor, as temporary and supplemental to this primary task of the church to be a community of relationships where we exhort one another every day. We remind one another every day. Surely on Sunday, we proclaim the gospel and we confess our sins and we are reminded of the forgiveness of Jesus, and we receive the Lord's Supper. We take and receive the Lord's Supper and we eat and we hear the gospel, and we then feed on the gospel, on Jesus. And we need that, but we need every day to be reminded by our brothers and sisters of what we know to already be, what we already know, but we need that reminder. Now, another place that we can go in Scripture is 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So this, in another place, is Paul connects the church as individuals together, or individuals of one another, that there's an interdependence. We want to be independent, and we live independently, and the world pushes us to be independent. Now, that's just pervasive. But biblically, what we see is the reality of the church is that we are in relationship with God, fully and completely dependent upon Him. Sometimes we're not really aware of just how dependent we are upon God. Right? That's all of our experience. But we're also dependent or interdependent upon one another because we're connected. And so Jesus calls His church His body. And just like the body, it's made up of many parts. You can look at Romans 12:15 too, that work together for the good of the entire body. So when a person is suffering or is in sin, because we're all one in Christ together, it does affect the entire church. And again, I think this is something that is so critical and has so many implications on our counseling. Because if our model of counseling is primarily and pragmatically individualistic, which in many cases it can be, and I've seen this and I've experienced this, then we're missing something that is so fundamental to who we are by nature and by design, and is so critical to our flourishing and our movement and our growth towards wholeness. Because we're one body, our counseling must be passionately community focused. Must take this into account. So we want to encourage every person we counsel to be part of a community of believers. Many people that we counsel are not, or they've been hurt by other believers. And that's something that I want to speak to, because that's a reality. It's, we can talk about the church being this beautiful body of believers, encouraging one another and members of one another. When one suffers, all suffer. But the reality is we fall short. We live in the not yet, and the not yet feels much more real than the already. And it is so painful. When we're hurt by the church, I think it's a hurt that goes and feels so much deeper than other hurt, because the church is meant to be a healing community. And when we're hurt by the church, when the church doesn't live up to that calling and to the nature of Jesus, then it makes sense that it's so deeply painful and hurtful. And I think one of the ways to change that, and you know, little by little, one by one, we come back to this reality that we need one another. We're created by God in relationship with Him, for relationship with one another. And we begin to see one another the way Jesus sees us. We begin to see our interdependence. I think so much of the pain comes because of our trying to live independently of one another, or treating church not like a family, but like a business or an organization, or you know, a fraternity. as opposed to a family. And I think if we can return and return again and again and again to the reality that we need Jesus, and Jesus has created us to need one another, to remind one another that we need Jesus, and we can begin to see one another the way Jesus sees us. And through this a gospel-centered, a gospel-shaped, and transformed community, I believe God's church can come alongside a person in need. And it must. It must. That's what we're created for. So where we failed, we must repent and do whatever we can, as serious as we can, and as radically as we can. We need to come back to and restore what's been broken, and to come back to what God has intended the church to be. So this is why we take our ecclesiology and our understanding of the church in our counseling philosophy really serious. I like to tell people that we want to have a robust theology, a faithful anthropology or psychology, and we have a high ecclesiology, unashamedly so. We want to honor the church. We want to see the church the way God sees the church. And I think God doesn't minimize the abuse and the trauma that exists in the church, and the pain, and how pastors and leaders can fail people, and people can fail one another. And all of that is real, and we need to be honest about that. I think the church is seeing a reckoning of that today, publicly, sadly. But it's needed. It's needed. Things in the dark need to be brought into the light. Abuse needs to be brought into the light, and that's a part of this. We see many clients that it's a miracle they're in counseling with a Christian counselor and with us, because they've been so deeply and profoundly hurt by the church, and the church keeps hurting them, and the church keeps letting them down. And we can say, well, you know, and we do say, well, Jesus is perfect and the church is not. But it is hard when we also say the church is the body of Christ, and there's that disconnect. And people rightly feel that. So we need to be honest about that. We need to provide safe places for people to wrestle with that and lament and grieve. And by God's grace and with God's help, and sometimes it can only be, and really, I mean, it really can only be the power of the Spirit that enables us to stay in the church and stay with the church and stay with one another. We are so, that's how dependent we are on Jesus and on the Spirit. It's not something we can just do in our own strength. So we need the church, and the church also provides and sadly creates a lot of pain in our lives. And so in counseling, it's an odd place because, again, so many clients and so many people come into counseling because of the hurt that comes in relationship. And our theology and our understanding of God and how He has created us says that it's in relationship that you're hurt, yes, but it's also in relationship that you're healed. Relationship with Jesus, but also relationship with one another. And that can be really hard for people, but that's God's design, and so we put our hope in Him, and we put our hope in Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to lead the way, to build His church, and to do it mercifully, graciously, and that He would continue to sanctify us and give us His heart for the church, for one another, and mostly for Him, that we would grow in our love for Him and our awareness of His love for us, and together we would experience more and more of His redemptive healing as He makes us whole in Christ through the power of the gospel. Well, thanks for joining us today on this episode of the Gospel Care Podcast. Next week, I'm excited to talk about our next core value, the fourth of our four, and that is community renewing. This gets at our missiology and how that shapes and defines how we do counseling. So looking forward to talking about that. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for listening. If you've made it this far, thank you for taking your time. We would love your thoughts. I'd love your thoughts on any of this. If you want to send an email, if you want to leave a message on social media, we'd love to hear from you. Again, thank you so much. God bless.